he'd be glowing in the dark, right? The Bible never says anything about a stable. The Bible says that he was laid in a manger, which is a feeding trough, and so somebody went from feeding trough all the way to a manger. Don't know. Other folks have said, well, it was probably a cave, because that's what they used for their stables back then, were caves. I'm fine with that too. It doesn't matter to me where it was, but that it was, right? I don't know that it was in a cave. I don't know that it was in a stable. I do know there was a manger. I do know there was a star. I do know the angels sang. I don't know if there were three wise men. And I can really remember a lot of our preachers made a big point when they were teaching us that Christmas was not the birthday of Jesus. They wore us out on that. We don't know that there were three wise men. We know the wise men came and brought three gifts. And even as a little boy, I'm sitting there thinking, well, if there's wise men coming that far to see a king, and they brought three gifts, would it might be reasonable to conclude that there were three of them? Or would you like to be the one that showed up without a gift? Oh man, I left my gift at home for the King of Kings. Now, I don't know. I don't know if there were three wise men. I don't know if cattle were lowing. I don't know if it came upon a midnight clear. I guarantee you it was not a silent night. I've got a newborn baby in my house. There is no such thing as a silent night. And I've said it before, and I love it when John's in here because it's his favorite song. But I know, I guarantee you, there was no little drummer boy. Mary would have thrashed him quick, sent him out of there. But I do know this from the Word of God, nothing to do with tradition. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. It is a part of the history of our world. It is a part of the revelation of God's will. God gave His Son to us. And on this day, and on Christmas Day, and on every day after, until He finally takes us home, I'm going to thank God for the birth of Jesus, aren't you? And so I'm not just going to do it on a Christmas Day. I think I'll get started early. Let's start it today, all right? And let's thank God for the birth of Jesus. Now, before we read, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, by the way. And if you need help finding Luke, find red letters. Find red letters, or if you're one of these... Remember I told you I'm not going to make fun of you technology people anymore? Did I explain to y'all? Yeah, I used to abuse you people that use your iPhones and iPads and all that to get... because I can't hear the pages turn. Now, that bothers me. But the other day when I met Tiffany at our newest sister, when I met her at Market Street to visit with her, the only Bible we had between us was on her phone. And so I'm all for you. You just keep using those things. They may be of the devil, but it doesn't matter. But if you could turn it to red letters, that would make me feel better. All right, here we go. You got Luke chapter 2. I want you to find the verse that tells us what God did for us. What did God do for us on the day that Jesus was born? And the reason I'm asking it so broad is I want you to reflect, I want you to read, I want you to tell me what you think happened. What you know God did for us on that day. Your turn. On that day, what did God do? Yeah, there you go. He said, today, born in the city of David. Did everybody see that verse? Everybody see it? It's Luke chapter 2, what verse? 11. Today, born in the city of David, is a Savior. Excellent. So God knew, and He knew it long before Jesus got here. He knew it before the worlds began, that we would need saving. But by giving us a Savior, He is saying, I know that you're going to sin. I know you're going to be in a world of hurt because of your sin. I know you're facing eternal damnation because of sin. So let me do something for you. Let me save you. Let me provide for you a Savior. What else did He give us? Good news of great joy. Now, the good news is a Savior was born. That's exactly right. What else did He give us? Now, if you got one, I'm counting, and there's one we're going to come back to, and great joy is one of those. Keep going. What did He give us? It's for all the people. He was not going to pick and choose. He was not going to exclude anybody. It was for everybody. In fact, long before Jesus ever came to the world, it was promised that He would bless all the families. He was going to bless American families, Mexican family, African families, Chinese families, Lubbock families, maybe Amherst families. Not for sure New Mexico families, but we're going to include them, right? Jesus was going to bless all the families. What else did He give us? I didn't hear. And that was for all men, and His favor would rest on all men. What else did He give us? Keep reading. Last call. He fulfilled His promise to us. All of those are good stuff. You want to sum it up? Give me the one word. It's not in the text. Give me one word that sums up everything He gave us on that day. I'm sorry? Life. What did He give us? Hope. Salvation. Redemption. Forgiveness. Himself. Grace. Heaven. I'm sorry? A blessing. Love. All of those are, yes. Take all those things. That's what God gave us. Now, before we study them, before we go back and show you the three things that jumped off the page at me, tell me what you want your children to have. What do you want your grandchildren to have from this gift God gave us? And I want to know it from you. We've been reading and talking for months now about how God wants us to raise our children, how God wants to prepare us to prepare them for the world they live in and protect them from the evil that's out there that could damage them. We've discussed all kinds of things. No review today, free day, no review. But what do you want your children to take away from this moment in time when God brought Jesus into the world and gave Him that Savior, Christ, Lord? What do you want them to take away? What do you want them to have from it? You want them to have faith. All the gifts that you can give your children, faith is one of the greatest because it can help them overcome a multitude of things. But because Danny said it, now let's make sure we understand how we do it. How do you give your children faith? You know the verse. I'll start it, you finish it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. So we want them to have faith. What do you want your children to take away from this gift God gave us? Hope. Well, who said hope? Tell me why. What hope about what?
Hope that they're, I don't know, to me, I just think it gives them hope that, you know, He sent His Son to them, and it gives them hope that there's a future.
Good. Hope is an idea. It's the word that goes beyond where you are. Because you'd be in a mess of stuff, and if you don't believe that there's something better, if you don't believe that there's a God working it out for good, if you don't believe that there's a home for you somewhere else, what do you do in that moment? You give up. I don't want my children, I don't want my grandchildren ever to give up. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how horrible it is, I want them to hang on. Can it get real bad? And let's talk real. Can it get real bad in your life? Can you get to the point in your life that you despair of life and wish you could exit life? And what keeps you alive? hope. I want my children to have hope. I want my grandchildren to have hope. Catherine, you had your hand up. Somebody told me this week, we were discussing something, and at the end of the discussion, she said, I want to say thank you. And I said, for what? And she said, because of what you discussed, I think I see light at the end of the tunnel. What'd that do for her? Yes, there's direction with light. There's hope with light. Yes, all right. Last call. What do you want your children, your grandchildren, to take away from this? I got two hands at the same time, so we'll go here and then there. Yeah, we see the birth of a baby how? Oh, look at what God did for us. What we are not looking at is what on the other end. What did God do for us? He gave. In fact, how many times is it written in Scripture? He gave. The verse we all know, John 3:16, He gave. But there's a passage in Isaiah that says, unto us a child is born and a son is given. All right, Linda. So he not only understands, taught us that he understands what we go through, he taught us how to overcome those things if we want to, right? He understands every trauma. He understands every temptation. He understands everything you and I experience in this life. So he understands us. Sympathizes is the word in Scripture. He cares about how we feel about those things. But he also showed us, here's how you live your life having gone through that. Here's how you live when you're having to go through that. All right, now let's look at Luke 2. Let's get to the text, and then we'll tie a knot and give us others more time to speak. I want you to look at verse 10. And I want you to circle this word. You've already said it, so we just want to circle it. On the day Jesus was born, God's intent was to give us joy. There's good news of great joy. All right? Then I want you to look down at verse 14. And it was not mentioned in our list, though we mentioned all around it. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men. He was giving peace to men. So circle the word peace. Now, the word that's not in there is the word that sums up all of this, and that's the word love. So three words on this day, on Christmas Day, on every day, before and after, I want my children to receive, I want my grandchildren to experience joy, peace, and love. Now, honest, we live in a world that's kind of mocked us. We put so much emphasis, Christians put so much emphasis, especially at this time of the year, on joy, peace, and love, or peace, joy, and love, or love, joy, and peace. Whichever your arrangement doesn't matter. It's just those three words. And I've heard, even had people mock. So what are you saying? Peace, love, and joy? But think about what those words mean, and it's what I want my children to take away, and it's what I want us to walk out of here with today. When God brought that gift to us, when God sent Jesus to us, when He was delivered safely into the arms of Mary and Joseph, when God made that gift to us, He intended for us to have joy. Now, you know this, so this is, it's us discussion. What does joy mean? What does joy mean? Yeah, it's not the roller coaster ride of happiness, right? Now, that's sometimes what we get it mixed up with, because when a baby's born, how do we feel? It's all exciting, yay! And this baby is born, and so it's great. This is a great thing. Look what God did for us. Lots of happiness. But folks, you and I have lived long enough. What do we know about happiness? It's fleeting. It will change when? In the blink of an eye, or the flat of a tire, or the come of a bill, or the turn off of the lights, or the mood of the mate, or the phone call or not phone call of a friend, or the text. See my point? We live in a world that's like this, and I don't have any way to write it on the board, but you've seen me write it a jillion times. We live in a roller coaster world. Good things happening. You're all happy and excited. This is wonderful. It's a great time of the year. And there'll be people sitting in this room today who are so excited about seeing all their family come, and they've got just, they're already planning the food, and they've got the presents, and everything is going to be wonderful. You're just excited. You're just thrilled to death. And there's other people sitting in here that have no family, and it dread this holiday. Dread it. Because everything will be closed, they'll be alone, and it's just one more reminder of the consequences that came in their life because of the decisions they made. So what did God give us? What did God want to give us when He sent us Jesus? He wanted us to give us joy. I want you to be happy. I want us to thrill to death with family and food and presents and all that kind of stuff. But I also want us to understand that that moment passes. And there are other people that won't have it at all. But God intended for us to have joy. And that's that contentment that stays true whether good things are happening or not. There's a contentment, there's a confidence, there's a hope, there's a joy that stays true even if everything is not going your way. Now put it in words. How can I say that? What kind of mental words, what kind of words can I say in my mind? What kind of self-talk is what counselors call it. What kind of self-talk can I give myself when things aren't going good? And I know us, I hear us. We'll say, man, God upset with me, or God, man, God's trying to tell me something, and things aren't going right. Bills are coming and money's not. Money's tight or non-existent. Trouble consequences still come after we've already been forgiven. And we go to thinking somehow God should have done something about this when the truth is I was the one that did it, not God. But what kind of talk do I give myself? What kind of words from God do I give myself? Leland.
I count my blessings. Yeah. And I start with salvation, health, and then I think the country, the city that we live in, how can we complain?
Count your blessings. It'd be a great thing to teach your children that when they're at their saddest, when they're at their most frightened, when they're at their most desperate, stop. Stop just long enough to count your blessings. Heard it early this morning, great illustration of it. Somebody told me, said, man, I'm not going to be getting to work for 2 weeks. Well, if you're working on an hourly wage, what does 2 weeks do to you? I mess up a whole lot of things, right? But I said, but I got a bonus on my last day of work that's going to be able to take care of my rent. That's what joy is. Joy is seeing what God is able to do even when I can't explain it or I know it's going to be tough. I want my children to have that joy. Now, if my children are going to have that joy, where have they got to see it first? Let's don't forget what we've already learned. Where have they got to see it? I want to hear you say it. Where have they got to see it? In me. They've got to see it in me. So, Mama, Daddy, Grandma, Grandpa, Big Brother, Big Sister, Aunt, Uncle, Cousin, Babysitter, Bible class teacher, we've got to let our children see in us how we deal with the traumas. Because honest, what happens sometimes when we get concerned? What happens when we get worried? What happens when we get frustrated? Honest, what happens to us? We get depressed. And we go to thinking, once we get depressed, where do we go? And folks, when you first start feeling depressed, what do you tend to do? Grumpy. What happens?
Withdrawal,
crying.
I like to blame other people.
Blame other people. Blame. Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're good at that. And?
Blame God.
Say it again.
I'll eat.
Yeah. You know what we do? We like to create it. We manufacture our own misery. I'm already feeling bad, so I might as well feel worse. You see, we've taught our children to do the same thing. We've got to turn it around. We've got to teach our children a different way of dealing with that. I appreciate Danny's comment because I do the same thing, obviously. But I do the same thing. If I get worried about something or if I get sad about something, I'll start eating. Of course, if I get happy, I eat. So I don't know if that works out, how that works out. But we have taught our children, this is just an illustration, we've taught our children to eat their feelings. When they're having feelings of any kind, food is how they answer that, how they solve that. Is that a healthy lifestyle? It's not physically healthy, but it's not emotionally healthy either. Yeah, there you go. So what we've got to do is we've got to teach them. Where do they have to see that in us? So this is not just our Christmas sermon. This is us learning. God gave us this gift and wants us to pass that joy on to our children and grandchildren. How do we do that? Is we count our blessings, is we see what God is still doing even when we don't see it, when we don't understand it, when we can't explain it. Is God bringing to us good news of great joy? Even when we can't explain it. Now, last point, and then we're going to the next one. I see it in here all the time. You watch TV, you hear it on TV from TV preachers, and you hear the radio preachers, a lot of them. If you come to Jesus, if Jesus saves you, if you're reborn in the kingdom of God, and I love that thought of people being reborn. I love that thought of people being saved. I love it. But they will make it sound like the moment that you turn your life over to Jesus, the moment you become a Christian, then everything changes. The heavens open, angels sing, light shines down from above, and your kids don't get sick, your bills don't get, your utilities don't get turned off, the mistakes you made in your past are all of a sudden just vanished. Is that true? No, it's not true. And I guess in this place we've had to deal with that more than any other place I've been. Some of us made decisions that got us in trouble, that even though we're forgiven, and thank God we are forgiven, we still have to live according to those consequences, right? And that's not fun. That's not easy. But the joy is, while I still have to suffer, while I still have to live the consequences of the foolish, shameful, damaging things I did, guess what? Guess what? Say it out loud. I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. And if the people that are against me don't like that, they can take it up with God when they get there. I'm not going to give that gift up for anything. So do I still have to live consequences? Yes, I do. Made silly, stupid, shameful decisions. But I am forgiven, and I'm blessed, and I'm seeing God work out good things. So find that joy and hold on. But let's make sure our children see that joy in us, and they don't see that crashing in depression, oh, everything's no good, or that frantic Chicken Little kind of thing. Oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Oh, no. No, our children don't need to see that. Our children need to see us in those times hold on to our joy. All right, next word was what? Peace. Now, this is fun. The moment we say peace, in my generation, the first word that those of us who are about my age, nobody will admit that, but if you're about my age, when you say peace, what do you think we mean?
Peace.
We think
no war.
I heard somebody say the word calm. We think it's a feeling. John? Peace, love, and happiness. Peace, love, and joy. That the old hippie days, right? And the idea of peace back then was all about pleasure. And peace was, I felt calm about things. And I'm putting my hand over my liver like that's where it is. My liver stops to quiver, you know. That's where we think about peace. Now, here's the problem with that is, some of us kept looking for that calm feeling and we couldn't find it in the black and white words of God. We couldn't find it in the truth of God's Word. So we started looking for it elsewhere. Where did you look for? And most of my little guys in jail that I deal with, most of them, because after the initial use of drugs, it came from an older brother, older sister, mama, daddy. The reason they kept doing it is because it took away that feeling of anxiety, that feeling of anger. It made them feel calm, so they kept using, and they became addicts that way. So we looked for peace somewhere else. I know people that do it with sexual activities, because in the moment of that sexual satisfaction, they feel some peace. They feel some calmness. Is that the peace he's talking about? Now, I think that can result, but the peace he's talking about, what does peace mean? Harmony? Peace. What does it mean? That you have some quiet, some confidence in the middle of some trauma. What does peace mean? Contentedness? Peace.
Victory.
In fact, honest, peace only comes in a war setting when somebody has won the war, when the other party has surrendered. So are we a part of any kind of war where there's been a victory?
Yes.
Did Jesus win the battle against Satan? Now, folks, we've got to remember that, because we live in a world that still talks to us like somehow Satan has some power that Satan doesn't have. In fact, our world talks to about Satan having power that Satan never had, but he especially doesn't have it now because Jesus crushed his head. Let me ask you a couple of simple questions. Can Satan read your thoughts? It's interesting. I love it, because you can think, yeah, because no, he can't. He does not have that power. No, you can't even give him that power. You can tell him what you're thinking, but he cannot read your secret thoughts. He is not God, y'all. He is not God. He has no power. In fact, the sheer truth of Scripture is, before Jesus even crushed his head, if you resisted him, what did he do? He would flee. He has no power over you that you don't let him have. You can resist him and send him running scared, right? But what we've done is No. You have the power. And of course, now we've learned that with divine power, what do we have the power to do? Remember from 2 Peter. I'll remind you of the book just to get you focused. 2 Peter, what do we have divine power to do? To tear down, yeah, remember? In 2 Corinthians, we talk about we tear down strongholds and we have victory over those things. Here's the point, now we won't go back and rehearse all that, is we have peace because the battle's been won, y'all. Jesus has already conquered him. You want the verses? I'll give them to you later if you don't have anything to write them down. But if you look in Hebrews chapter 2, he brought him to nothing, the one who had power over death. In 1 John chapter 3, he destroyed him who had power over death. God has power in Jesus that he demolished Satan's kingdom. He crushed his head. You and I are free. We are saved. And if you read the last couple of pages of Revelation in Revelation 19, we follow someone riding a white horse. His garments are spattered in blood. How do we look? We're dressed in white linen. We are protected. We are cleansed. We are sealed. We are saved. We are winners. We are. And I just knew somebody would remember this verse. I'll start it, you finish it. We are more than conquerors. I knew somebody would pick it up. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. God loves us so much, we have victory over all enemies. Now hang on. So in that moment, we have peace. Now we still got some battles to fight. But most of the battles we have to fight take place where? In my thoughts. Remember, we have those strongholds, those arguments, those pretensions that keep us battling our thoughts, and we take them captive and bring them obedience to Jesus. We have peace with God, first of all. So start there. We have peace with God. So you want your children to have that? Then let's give that to them. Let's teach them about God. Let's teach them about the victory that Jesus won. Let's teach them that if they want to be on the winning side, then they make that choice to follow Jesus always. Now, we also need to teach them that that's how they have victory over those things that bother them, those things that they'll struggle with. Catherine was right a minute ago. Some of our kids will struggle with some of the same things we struggled with. Some because they will have seen something in us. Sometimes it'll just be because of circumstances. So what we want to do is teach them about the Jesus who can give us that kind of victory, that kind of peace. Now what happens? What happens? What happens if you have peace with God, you have peace with your brothers and sisters? What happens in your heart? What happens in here? If you know that God is good and I'm forgiven, I'm saved, and I the war has been won, and I am winning the battle every day, making him flee, making Satan flee, what do I have? I have that calmness. I have that peace. So you want that peace? It doesn't come from a drug. It doesn't come from fun. It doesn't come from a whoopee. What it comes from is peace with God. And it will give you some calmness in your heart. I want my children to have joy. I want them to have peace. Last one, I want them to have love. Now we're not going to go anywhere but the place we know to go. What does God say love is? What does God say love is? Patient and kind. It's not jealous. It's not proud. It's not rude. Doesn't keep record of wrong. It's not easily angered. Not irritable, he says. Not impatient. No, what is it? Not self-seeking. Not selfish. I'm going to wait till you get all 15 of them. Keeps no records of wrongs. Does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. And it bears all things and believes all things and hopes all things. Love never fails. You want your children, that's the gift God gave us when he gave us Jesus. He gave us that kind of love. And he gave us that kind of example. So let's receive it and then share it. Do you see it? You receive that love. Let your love, let God love you. Let him love you. Let him give you what he wants you to have. He is patient and he is kind. He's not selfish. He's not rude. He does not keep records of wrongs. Yeah, but you don't understand, man. I messed up again. I know you messed up again, but does he keep a record of that wrong? No, that's been forgiven. It's been washed away by the blood of Jesus. How many times you want to describe it? He is greater than your heart. So when your heart condemns you, he is greater than your heart. He knows those things. He loves us. He loves you. So receive it. So if you remember nothing else, today, on this day when we celebrate his birth, on Christmas Day when the whole world will celebrate his birth, on whatever day you decide to thank God for the birth of Jesus, you receive the love of God. Give him, let him love you. But then make sure your children see that kind of love from you. And that's where we got to tie that. We'll finish and we'll remember Jesus, which is the greatest example of his love. But your children see patience in you? Do they see kindness? Do they see you being selfish? Do they see you being irritable? Do they see you keep a record of wrongs? Hey, honest, which of those do we need to work on? Which of those 15 things do you need to work on in your family? Let's make it real. Which one of those 15 things, just one of those 15 things, do you need to work with in your family so they will come to know what real love is? It's not the flattery of a boy. It's not the sweet smile of a girl. It's not a smell or a puff or a taste of anything. Where do they get that love? Where do they see that love? They see it first in you. But what do they need to see? You tell me. In your family, which one of those 15 descriptions of love do they need to see the most? What needs to change the most in your family? Self-seeking. Irritability. I'm sorry?
Irritability.
I heard another one. Patience. What needs to change most in the way you deal with your children? Yeah, kindness. Last call. Those last phrases, love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things. I read a version of the Bible that I don't remember what it was, and I'm sure I've got it somewhere in my library, but it said, love always gives the benefit of the doubt. I wonder sometimes if we do that with our children, or do it with our mates, or we do it with our grandchildren, or do it with our friends, or do it with our brothers and sisters. But love gives people the benefit of the doubt. It doesn't assume the worst. It believes. It hopes. The last one is the one I want my children to see in me most. The last one is the one I want my children and grandchildren to see in me, like I saw it in my family and my mom and dad. And I want my grandkids to grow up. I want them at my funeral to be able to say, you know, Papa always made sure we knew that it didn't matter where we were, what we were doing, he would love us. Because love never fails. I don't ever want to give up on them. even if I have to withdraw from them and let them face the consequences of their sin, I will continue to love them. Not enable them, love them. And not quit loving them until I don't have time or life left to love.